everybody. Welcome to the Callin' It NFL Week 3 Roundup. I'm Alex Barth. Alex Lebowitz with us as well. Lebo, a wild week in Week 3. We will get to the games in a minute. First, just some quick comments off the top. When I started this podcast back in February, my goal was to create an X's and O's inside the lines kind of show. Well, political issues and civil rights absolutely have their place in sports, and they should be discussed. I just want to create an area where we could discuss the play inside the lines. That being said, the events of this week, I just want us to kind of touch on what's going on in the last couple of days. I feel like it would be irresponsible at this point not to mention it. I have my thoughts pre-prepared. Lebowitz has his thoughts pre-prepared. We're not going to debate. We're not going to discuss. We're just going to share a quick thought on the matter, and then we'll move on to the games. Alex Lebowitz, I will let you go first.
Yeah, I think it's pretty nuts what we've seen the past couple of days. I don't think we've ever seen politics so ingrained in professional sports before. This is really something. It's uncharted territory for myself and for you in regard to covering these events. And it's crazy, you know, looking back, like where it all started this past week. It started with Steph Curry not wanting to go to the White House. Then Donald Trump obviously sparked comments. I just think it's odd how we went from a point where taking a knee during the national anthem represented one thing, you know, the Colin Kaepernick issues, Black Lives Matter, and obviously the state of police policing in this country, and now it's completely taken a different meaning, and it's kind of to stick it to the president. So it's gone all over the place. My personal opinion, you have the right to take a knee. Yeah, you have the right to do what you want during that national anthem. That's part of, you know, what it's about to be an American. So I respect it. Do I agree with it? Not necessarily. I would stand. If I was there, I would stand. But I'm not going to think less of a player for sticking up for what they believe in. And I feel like we've gotten into this whole thing where we see a lot of hypocrisy with people and their beliefs on this matter. But I'm hoping it ends soon because it is tense. It is an emotional thing. And I do want to get back to football. And it is unfortunate that we have to discuss it here because this isn't really the forum that you do that. So, it's been a crazy week, but we had good football today and it is a lot to talk about. So there is that, and it starts a discussion.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever dreaded an NFL Sunday more just based on the buildup to this week. And I'm one who just kind of enjoys the game. I like to block the noise out. I generally don't watch football in large groups to begin with. I hate those promos during the games when they talk about the other shows on the network. I just want my X's and O's talk. I thought, at least from the games I saw, it was handled pretty well. Look, I'm a guy who I will stand for the national anthem in my living room watching the game on TV because that's what I do. I love my country. I have a great respect for my country. And a big reason for that is because I can do this. I can talk in a public forum and say just about whatever I want about just about anybody I want. And I'm very thankful for that because there's a lot of people in the world who don't have that right. That being said, something that comes along with that, again, is the freedom of expression. And I think if you want to kneel, you absolutely should. All the power to the players who did. I respect their choice. I understand why they're doing it. I hope that it does have the desired effect. I hope it creates a dialogue. I hope we can work through some of these issues that are going on. I understand that they're not taking a stand against the military or the national anthem itself. It's just some of the policies in our country, and I understand why they would take that stand. And of course, my thoughts are with them. I just think to have the kind of rhetoric we had from the office, we had it. It's off-putting, and it almost put a damper on the week. We ended up with a great week, and I think we all got a much needed reminder today why we love sports and why we love football and why it's so important to our society. And on that note, why it's so important. One reason is that it can play with your emotions like nothing else. And certainly the Patriots game did that today. Now we will have a full recap of the Patriots game tomorrow on the show. You can find that on our Twitter page at Callin' It Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud as well. So quick thoughts on this one, Lebo, before we go through the rest of the games, because we'll expand tomorrow. And I'm actually going to start, if you don't mind, with a Texans thought. I want a Texans thought on this game. I was very low on Deshaun Watson coming into the season and during the draft. Maybe it was because he beat my Crimson Tide, the national championship. I thought he was one of those guys, like a Tim Tebow, a little better, but a good college quarterback, didn't have the chops for the NFL. I think I was wrong. He was outstanding today. There's only one quarterback in the world that was going to beat him the way he played today. That's two times in 3 weeks. The Patriots have seen the best performance from a guy in his career, but Alex Smith is on the back end. Deshaun Watson's just beginning. He was outstanding. He seemed like a cross between Cam Newton, not Cam Newton this year, but like peak Cam Newton and Aaron Rodgers. And I can't wait to see what he has the rest of the year. I think we're going to see him again in the playoffs. I really do. I thought he was really good today.
Yeah, he was amazing. The way he and made some really ballsy throws was something you usually don't see from a rookie. And this is a guy who wasn't even starting at the beginning of the season. So to see what we saw from Deshaun Watson was great. That said, there's still concerns on this Patriots defense. There's still holes on this Patriots defense. It will get better. I'm sticking to that point. You know, week three Patriots D is not going to be nearly as good as week 10 Patriots D, barring, you know, major injuries. So there's some work to be done. Other than that, Tom Brady was Tom Brady. He looked amazing. There's no other quarterback who does what he did today. Five touchdowns, and it seems like he's finally on the same page with Brandon Cooks. Just a lot of really, really great connections between those two. So good game offensively for the Pats. Obviously, they played a really good quarterback in Deshaun Watson, but still a lot of work to do on the defensive end, and I think that's where we stood this time last week.
All right, so now let's go through the rest of the games this week. If the first game was any indication, it was not going to be a close week. We had the 9:30 start in London, the Jags and the Ravens. I've been saying for weeks, haven't I, that the Ravens are not legit. I think we saw more today of what they really are than the first 2 weeks when they walked a cupcake schedule to 2-0. They fall to the Jaguars 44-7 on top of the Ravens sucking. I don't think Blake Bortles wants to come back from London. He plays all his best career games over there. I don't know what it is, but I think we saw the Ravens' true colors today.
Yeah, they're not that good. Joe Flacco is not what he used to be, and they're just a very mediocre team. Week one and week two, they play the Bengals and the Browns. Like, those aren't good opponents. You finally played an opponent that, you know, isn't a great team, but they have a lot of talent, and they show that they just outmatched you today. Hats off to the Jaguars for how they did. Blake Bortles had a really good game. Their secondary played pretty well as well. But yeah, just the Ravens are not a very good team. I think that whole division is kind of weak, even with the Steelers, obviously, in today's game. We saw that. So yeah, Ravens, we kind of knew what they were. They just benefited off of having 2 week opponents, week one and week two, which kind of deceived some people, but they're not a great team at all.
Another team that was 2-0 was the Denver Broncos, and I won't lie, I was getting a little nervous about them maybe having a resurgence and having to deal with Harris and Tlaib in the playoffs again as a Patriots fan, but they fall to the Bills 26-16 up in Buffalo. The Bills are now 2-1, so there they are at the top of the division with the Patriots. I don't know if you saw the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Von Miller at the end of that game. Did you hear about that?
What happened there?
So Bills are going down, driving for, they're up three for a chance to put the game away. The Broncos look like they have them stopped. Incomplete pass, Von Miller had pressure on the quarterback, knocks Tyrod Taylor down, goes to help him up, reaches out a hand and pulls it back, kind of like a too slow sort of thing. Now, apparently these guys know each other. They're close. So they're laughing about it. The ref, not laughing, unsportsmanlike conduct, 15 yards on Von Miller. Bills score, win the game. one of the softest penalties I've ever seen. Look, by definition, too slowing somebody is unsportsmanlike. I suppose that's not good sportsmanship, but we shouldn't be flagging people for that, especially when Tyrod Taylor knew it was a joke. It's not like he helped him up halfway and dropped them. There was no physical contact. That was a soft look. Soft look for the NFL and a big win for the Bills, too. We'll throw that in there.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, if you can give a quarterback roughing the passer when it might not be roughing the passer, like, you know, Tom Brady gets calls every once in a while, you think they'd give Von Miller the benefit of the doubt. The guy is the best defensive player in football. That's just a lack of respect from the officials there. That's annoying. You got to think, you're in the NFL, it's a fraternity. They do know each other, and Von Miller is not a guy who's of low character. He's a well-respected player. Everyone seems to respect the guy. So that's weak. That is weak. The Broncos, though, I mean, their defense is good. They're pretty good. Not the best game today. It seems like the Bills, by default, are the second best team in the AFC East, especially with the way the Dolphins played today. But, yeah, I mean, I was a little worried about this Denver team, too, because we saw what they did with a crippled Peyton Manning back in 2015. I didn't want to see them make a run with Trevor Siemian this season. Looks like that won't be the case, though, if they're losing to teams like the Bills.
So they're now at 2-1. The Bills are now at 2-1. The Steelers are now at 2-1. 2 weeks ago on this show, I said I was the Bears had piqued my interest. Matt McCarthy called me out on it. Last week, the Bears get smacked. And just when I'm out, they drag me back in. They beat a good Steelers team 23-17, a touchdown run for Jordan Howard in overtime. Some weird stuff at the end of that game, too. A couple extra plays for the Bears, but a grinded out win. Mike Glennon again. Mitch Trubisky still sitting there on the bench as the Bears pick up their first win of the year. I think to me, this was more about the Bears kind of finding their momentum at home than the Steelers. I thought the Steelers looked good enough in this game. The Bears just had that extra push being at home to go on and win. Steelers, no less of a threat. Antonio Brown was great. Big Ben was a little bit off, but this is more about the Bears than the Steelers to me.
Yeah. I'm the Steelers. I think we do pretty much every year. They're one of the top teams, but they're not the top team. That's kind of the same deal this season. I think I agree with you. It's more so the Bears surprising some people with how much of a jump they made from last season to this season. And they've gotten a lot of help from their young guys. They got those two running backs, Tariq Cohen and then Howard. Those two guys were very good today, and they have been pretty much this entire season. But yeah, Mike Lennon's doing the job for them. And I think if you're someone who is a fan of Trubisky, wants to see him develop, it's a good thing. You don't want to force him in there too soon, and you want to see the Bears that continue to get better, and that's what's happening. One play that you have to mention, though, is the run back from Marcus Cooper, where he got the ball swatted out of him, literally at the goal line. Just
pulled a Leon Lett.
One of the dumbest plays you'll ever see.
That was the when your controller runs out of battery meme. That actually happened to me last night playing NHL. I was very upset by the new NHL 18, by the way. It's very good. They're not even a sponsor. I just want to remind everybody, this is the CallNet NFL Recap. If you're watching live on YouTube, go ahead in the comments. If you have any questions, thoughts for us, things you want us to talk about from this week as we continue to roll through these games here. Still in the 1 o'clock hour, a couple of unbeatens meeting in the Motor City, the Falcons and the Lions. This may have been the most controversial ending of the day. Now, before I get into it, the call was correct by the book. The rule may need to change. Lions down 4 after the Falcons scored late driving. They get to the 1 yard line, 12 seconds to go. Crossing pattern to Golden Tate. Looks like he pushes his way into the end zone. They review it. He's not in by rule because the clock would be running and the Lions have no more timeouts. There's a 10-second runoff. The Lions don't get another play left. They would have had 4th and goal at the 1. Instead, they lose by 4. Again, right rule, probably something that changes next year because if he doesn't get in, the Lions where they were would have had time to get up the line and snap a play. It wouldn't have been 10 seconds off the clock, but Falcons escape by the feathers on their back. I still think the Lions are legit this year. I still like them, not necessarily as a Super Bowl contender, but as a team that's going to make some noise. And the Falcons, I predicted them for some Super Bowl hangover. They're 3-0.
Yeah, and they're looking pretty good. I think this is a team that's going to continue to play well, the Falcons, that is. In regard to that, to the call, it's something that definitely has to change. It's just a horrible way to end a game. When you're fourth and goal at the 1 yard line and you're down by only 4 points, that wins it. You want to see that play. You want to see what happens. And the 10-second runoff just completely kills that momentum. And it kind of steals the game from the Lions, which would have been, momentum not just for that game, but for next week, for the season. That would have been a huge win to beat the reigning NFC champs. So, the Lions are looking really good. Stafford looked pretty good. Matt Ryan, on the other hand, he was a little shaky. His numbers were up, but he had a couple picks. Big part of that game is that play has to that rule, the runoff has to change. But, something like that has to happen to enact a change in regard to those rules.
Browns and Colts faced off in a Super Bowl. Colts pick up the win. They are now 1-2. The Browns are 0-3, 31-28. A late charge by the Browns, 14 points in the fourth quarter. It wasn't enough. Jacoby Brissett looked legit. 3 touchdowns, 1 through the air, 2 on the ground. At one point, he had 9 completions for over 200 yards. Indy may have found their guy. And, Philip Dorsett's been good in New England. He was kind of absent today. But this may be one of those rare trades where both teams win, although quarterback for wide receiver, you always take the quarterback. I liked what I saw from Jacoby this week.
Yeah, he's looking like a legitimate, not a top-tier starter, but someone who could start for a lot of teams. He's definitely better than Scott Tolzien. But it was a great game for him. He didn't really make any mistakes. Had a couple touchdowns on the ground on top of the one he had through the air, which is always good to see. And so he's a dual threat. And, yeah, they got the win over a crappy Browns team, but still a win's a win. And you got to be happy with the production you've seen from Jacoby Brissett if you're the Colts.
This one surprised me. Vikings 34, Bucks 17. The Vikes all over Tampa Bay. Stephon Diggs had an insane game. I think he had almost 200 yards receiving. They did it with who was in a quarterback for them?
Case Keenum.
Wasn't it out of Houston? Case Keenum, as Sam Bradford continues to deal with injury issues. Bucks now 1-1 because they had the week off for the Hurricane. Vikings now 2-1. And the Vikings, without their starting quarterback, off to an over 500 start, and Stephon Diggs is really starting to emerge as one of the better pass catchers in this league. You could for sure call today a coming out party for him.
Oh, yeah. I think he's been on a lot of guys' radar the past couple seasons. He's a really good target for him, and when you have a guy like Case Keenum who hasn't put up these types of numbers since he's been at, you know, Houston, University of Houston, a lot of that goes back to not only Stephon Diggs, but that offensive line for the Vikings. They played really well. They weren't touching the Bucks weren't touching him. On the other side, you know, with the Buccaneers, Jameis Winston a few mistakes today, and he seems to be in a little bit of a purgatory type state. You know, when's he going to take that jump? We know he has the talent. He just needs to, you know, take that jump and become that elite quarterback that he's capable of being. But it seems like it's, you know, two steps forward, one step back, and I'm waiting to see when Jameis Winston really starts playing like the quarterback he's capable of being.
My Jets not having the worst record in the NFL pick, looking great after today. They beat the Dolphins 20-6. Jets are 1-2. Dolphins are 1-1. The defensive line got to Cutler. And what did I say? Their defensive line was too stacked to allow them to be the worst team in the league. It showed today. And boy, Jay Cutler's looking like the wrong decision for Miami.
Yeah. You know, every squirrel finds its nuts. Yeah, finds its nut, rather, with the Jets. But butchered that one. So they got win today. I hope the Jets win 7 games this season. I really do. Because that'd be great. If they had, like, the 13th pick in the draft, I'd be ecstatic. It'd be amazing. And they draft another defensive end. That'd just be hilarious. Another thing that's gone under the radar this past week with all the political discourse and whatnot, you know, Jay Cutler was awful. Like, if all this stuff wasn't happening, the Colin Kaepernick being a starter for them would come out tenfold after that performance. He was brutal. The Dolphins were brutal. It seems like he was not the best choice. And I'm actually, for once, happy that the Jets got a win.
How about this, too? That was the Jets' first home game. So in front of all the fans in their Sam Darnold jerseys, had to walk outside because they watched the Jets win for the first time this year. Jets undefeated at home in 2017. We'll see how long that lasts. And not only do they not have the worst record in the league, Alex Leibowitz, the Jets do not have the worst record in the Meadowlands. The Giants fall to the Eagles 27-24. They are 0-3. Odell Beckham Jr. returns, scores twice, pees like a dog. It's not enough. A 61-yard field goal from a rookie kicker. You know, the Giants put up 24 points in the fourth quarter. That offense finally got some life. The offensive line started to hold after 2 games and 3 quarters of crap. But sometimes it's not your year. And as a bitter Patriots fan, I love seeing the Cards not fall the Giants' way. It's about damn time.
Yeah, if you're a New York team, I don't like you. That's my motto. You know, they had that great comeback bid. And then the Eagles did the same exact thing. And, you know, had 2 field goals within the last minute of that game to win it. It was a good game. It was an awesome game. And it seems like the Eagles are emerging as the NFC East favorites. They are the best team in that division, in my opinion. You know, honestly, that division is probably not as good as we thought it was originally, but still they've been playing very well this season. And Jake Elliott with that 61-yard field goal, that was sweet. And it barely sneaked just inside that right goal post. Also, did you see the video of Joel Embiid's reaction on Twitter?
Yeah, I saw you posted about that.
Oh, my God. The kid is taking a video on his phone, and instead of watching the game, he's taking a video of Joel Embiid's reaction to the 61-yard field goal that would win it. Watch the game. You're at the venue. You're at the link. It's 24-24, and you got a 61-yard field goal attempt. Put your phone away. Just watch it. See what happens, because it's probably going to be exciting if he hits it. And, you know, you'll remember it from being there. You won't. It's not about Joel Embiid's reaction. So that really ticked me off. They should ban him from the stadium. And I think people use their phones way too much at games to take photos. You're at the game, enjoy the game.
If I may counterpoint that, 61-yard field goal, rookie kicker, probably not going in. If it does, video of Joel Embiid, you know you're going viral. He saw his chance and he took it. I appreciate the risk in that. but I guess we'll agree to disagree on that one. Next game, Saints and Panthers, little NFC South matchup, what I call the Big 12's NFL chapter. Saints now 1-2, Panthers 2-1 as they fall 34-13. Cam Newton got pulled in this one. Continues to just be a dizzying mess of teams in the NFC South. Really not. I going into this week, look, the Panthers were 2-0. I didn't think they were great. The Saints I thought were better, but they were 0-2, and now all of a sudden maybe the ship's being righted a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they went up against a weak, very weak New Orleans defense and only put up 13 points. I feel like every
Cam
week
Cam Newton got benched for Derek Anderson too.
He got benched, and I feel like every week I keep saying Cam Newton sucks. Like he's past his prime. He's done. He's over. And that's not any hot take. It just every week he keeps proving that. How long is it going to take for the Panthers to be like, you know what? I think we've seen enough here. And I'm not saying that's going to come this season. Maybe it does. I'm not saying it's come next week. But rumbling should start if he continues to suck like he has. They're 2-1 this season, but still, it's not a good 2-1. They beat two crappy opponents and just got crushed by a Saints team that has a horrible defense. Silver lining, Christian McCaffrey looked really good today. He had 9 receptions over 100 yards. So you got a rookie who's contributing. It's just your quarterback, the most important position on your team. You're getting zero production out of them.
And what was their win over the Niners? Was it 9-6, 9-3?
No, I think they put up 20-3. They put up 20 points on them. Yeah.
Okay, they had won like 9-6 game against a bad team.
Yeah,
so
that
only
was
2 weeks in. That shows where my memory is, but
yeah, that was last week. I forget who they're playing off.
I just sworn it was the Niners.
Niners was week one.
Okay. I'm just losing my damn mind. That's fine. I can live with that. okay, 4 o'clock games lived up to the 1 o'clock games. Let's start with the Titans and the Seahawks. Tennessee with the big win over the visiting Seattle Seahawks, who are suddenly 1-2. And after week one, when people were putting them in the NFC Championship game, they have started to slip a little bit. I thought the Titans looked good. I thought Marcus Mariota looked really good, especially after taking that early hit from Richard Sherman. I love Taylor Lewan sticking up for his quarterback. Gotta love a good old fashioned scramble in football like we saw there early in that game. Now, if you remember back to week one, I said if the Titans want to be the AFC South champs, if they want to be a team that people take seriously in the playoffs, they need to win games at home like the one against the Raiders. This, very comparable game. I think this says a lot about the Titans team. They could come out and win. It was similar to that Raiders game. They were able to hold the Seattle off in the end. They scored 13 points in the fourth quarter, but it was not enough. I really liked what I saw from the Titans this week. Told me a lot. And yeah, I think there's trouble in Seattle. That offense isn't good. I know they put up 27 points, but they have their issues. The offensive line isn't great. They're still trying to figure out who their running back is. They have great receivers, but they really don't, and they don't use Jimmy Graham as much as they should. I don't think the Seahawks are built for a deep run this year. Could they make the playoffs? Absolutely. But I don't think that team's doing much damage.
Yeah, I'm still going to hold off on that take. I said last week that the Seahawks will.
But are you concerned about their offense at all?
A little bit, but I think they'll figure it out. They have a really good quarterback in Russell Wilson. They still have a lot of the same targets that they've had the past few years. Obviously, the offensive line has been a point of concern, but I think they will figure it out sooner rather than later. This is still the Seattle Seahawks. They have a lot of experience. They have really good coaching. They have a really good defense. It's just a matter of time before they figure it out. With the Titans, though, it's obviously a case of them being, you know, much better than we anticipated them being this year and getting to the point where we thought they could get sooner than we expected. This is a team that has one of the best young quarterbacks in the game, Marcus Mariota, and a really good offense. And today was a huge win against one of the biggest threats in the NFC. So, great game for the Titans. I think that's the most salient thing. The Seahawks have been struggling, but every team struggles every now and then. I think they will pick it up eventually this season.
We do have one listener comment I want to throw in before we move on. Sam says that interesting game today. She thinks the Jaguars won big and looks like they're in for an unpredictable year, but I think the Jaguars would take unpredictable over their usual, 5-11 spread. That team could go 8-8 if Bortles plays at the top of his game. They'll have an easy schedule.
They have talent. Their defense is not bad. Like they have a lot of talent on the defensive end. So they're all right. 8-8 would be fair. Yeah.
I think that's their ceiling. All right. Moving on. This low key may have been the best game of the day. I know the Patriots one was up there, but you have the Bengals, who have struggled mightily on the season, go into Green Bay, take a huge lead early. Packers come storming back and win it in overtime against Cincinnati, 27-24. You really had today, if you like good quarterback play, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers looked just like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers led the team down in overtime. Geronimo Allison, with what ended up being the game-breaking play, has like a 50-yard catch and run, gets him down to the 4, and then the game-winning field goal. But again, I'm going to keep, I think, all year going back to that season-opening game against the Packers and the Seahawks and, you know, saying people thought that was going to be the NFC Championship very early. The Bengals aren't a good team, and they took the Packers to overtime at home. I thought Aaron Rodgers looked great today, but we saw the issues with this Packers team. It's very similar to the Seahawks, and it seems to be with a lot of these elite NFL teams. Same goes for the Patriots. The offensive line isn't there. It's not great. And it showed today for the Packers, but they, unlike the Seahawks in the close game, are able to pick up the win.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. They got the win with Aaron Rodgers coming through in the clutch. They, you know, obviously had the quarterback, and it just sucks for the Bengals. The one game where they finally get their offense going, and they finally look like they could win a game. Not only any game, a game against the Packers, one of the best teams in the NFL. They get their hearts ripped out by Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. So great game for Rodgers and an awesome finish down there in overtime. And that late touchdown in the fourth quarter to tie it. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the one thing that we've seen from this week overall is just that there aren't any like head and shoulder elite teams in the NFL, not even the Patriots right now. Their defense just hasn't been there. They almost lost to the Texans today, and that's not to disparage the Texans, but you look at it, the Seahawks lost, the Packers almost lost, the Patriots almost lost, the Falcons almost lost. Not saying the Lions are any slouches, but there's been a lot of teams that we're used to seeing dominate against these types of opponents. They aren't. It's been very close. And I think that's a good thing overall. I think it's a good thing.
You mentioned there's no elite teams. There are only two teams at this point that are 3-0. The Raiders are 2-0. They'll go for 3-0 tonight against the Redskins. We'll get into that for a second. One more game. The Chiefs. And if you want to look at the AFC elites, they beat the Patriots week one handily. And it's because of Kareem Hunt. He had another big day today. Chiefs beat the Chargers 24-10. Like I mentioned, Chiefs are 3-0. Chargers are now 0-3, a rude awakening waiting for them in Los Angeles. I'm still not buying in on the Chiefs. I'm not going to buy in on a team that's winning because of a rookie running back. That can end very quickly and very roughly for a team. But they're giving fans very few and observers very few reasons to doubt them.
Yeah, no, they've been playing really well this season. They're a great team. And I think we've always kind of underestimated the Chiefs because they have Alex Smith as a quarterback. It's just like, they're just like a boring team. There's nothing, they're not sexy or anything. But they beat two quality opponents week one and two. And today was a big win. They're looking solid. They're looking like they might be the favorites in that division, even over the Raiders. So they're definitely no slouch. I think come playoff time, they're not going to be much of a factor. But you have to be impressed with how they started this season out.
The Raiders will try to keep pace tonight. Sunday Night Football kicking off right now. We'll preview real quick. The Raiders visit our nation's capital. They will take on the Redskins, who come in at 1-1. I'm expecting a lot of offense in this game, but I think the Raiders take care of it. It's going to be interesting to see look, they're two of the last three undefeated teams, or the last two undefeated teams in the AFC, the Raiders and the Chiefs. It's going to be interesting to watch them go head-to-head, back and forth. They're basically watching each other. I don't think either one's eyes are really on the Patriots because there's two byes. One of them's going to get one of those. The other will probably end up in the wild card. And they don't play each other for another couple of weeks. They don't meet until October 19th, which will be week, if I can count here real quick. I think that's week 7, if my eyes don't deceive me. So a lot of time between now and then to watch these teams face each other. And I'll tell you this, I'm sure Kansas City's watching this game tonight. A big chance for the Raiders on national TV, a team that kind of got shortchanged last year with the Derek Carr injury, to show what they're made, to show the nation what they're made of.
Yeah, I've been high on this team since last season. I think everyone is. If you're a fan of Derek Carr in that offense, you got to be. They're a very good team. They're one of the most talented teams in the AFC. They're going up against a Redskins team that I think is somewhat overrated. I think they're going to win this game. It might be close, but I think the Raiders will have control of it most of the way through. They are on the road. They're going to the East Coast from the West Coast, which always plays a factor. But they're just so talented offensively. We saw them put on a clinic last week. We saw them beat a really good team week one. So I have the Raiders winning this game. And they're one of the few teams, I'd say them and the Chiefs, that are looking really good early on this season.
All right, well, they're getting ready to go in, Rajon, Maryland. So we'll wrap this up here so you can go watch the game. Tune in tomorrow for the Calling It podcast, full show. We'll recap the Patriots game, Red Sox, final week of the season. We'll have that. How about this, Lebowitz? Houston Texans today for the Patriots, and really kicked off what's going to be two Houston-filled weeks for Boston sports fans. Red Sox play four against the Astros to end the season this upcoming weekend, and then we'll probably face the Astros in the first round of the playoffs. So, some good ammo for us heading into this week, and I'm looking forward to seeing replays of that final touchdown throughout the Red Sox Astros 2 series.
Yeah, they have to play it, right? Although the Houston Astros series, that 4-game series at the end of the season with the Red Sox, I feel like it's just going to be a bunch of scrubs, and I think we'll know the playoff matchups by then.
We'll talk more about that tomorrow. To listen to that show, you can follow us on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. You can also subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud, Calling It Podcast, IN with a little apostrophe there. So we will talk to you tomorrow. And then, of course, we'll be back same time next week, breaking it down. There's only 3 undefeated teams left. Always good when the undefeated number starts dropping early in the season. How many of them will last one more week? We'll find out about that next Sunday. Until then, he's Alex Lebowitz. I'm Alex Barth. This has been the Calling It Week 3 NFL Roundup. Thanks for watching. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.